Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities, and you can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU or making the case for funding. You can also leave comments on blog.com/nonprofitU. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account, and you'll find a link to open the account on the episode page. You can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com. or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. So today we're going to talk about the case statement, and the case statement helps organizational stakeholders develop a shared vision and commitment, and it also provides the consistency that the organization needs as they develop proposals, articles, publications, and other content. I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy my comments, and then I would like for you to call in and share some of your comments. Again, today's episode is making the case for funding, and we will talk about, you know, the pros and cons and some of the pitfalls that you want to avoid. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. So when we talk about making the case for funding, we're going to have our discussion within the framework that was developed by Gerald Paynes, Lindsay, and Partners Incorporated. So just want to step back for a minute. We want to define what a case statement is, and basically, your case statement is the core of your organization's fundraising efforts, and it's a document or a set of documents that together they give the reader a sense of who the organization is, what they do, where they do it, what problems they'll solve, how they'll solve the problem, and how much money they need, and most importantly, why they should be funded versus other people, not necessarily that you're trying to put others down, but you need to be able to show that there's some value in the work that you do. The case should state the type as well as the scope of service that you now provide, as well as your objectives for the future. And a case statement can be used for more than just funding. It also helps, you know, on the front end to get agreement, secure agreement and understanding around a common set of goals and values. So when you're doing your proposal development or your program development, it's really important to get buy-in from key stakeholders within the organization, and that includes your board members, senior staff, as well as your program staff. A case statement also helps you to get a direction and define strategy as to how to most effectively present your vision and your case to your primary constituencies, and in this case, not only your board and staff, but also your funders, potential partners, and other folks in the community. You can use it to inform leaders and workers of your programs as well as your dreams and demonstrate how the success of the endeavor is going to work for the benefit of everyone that you serve. It can help you to recruit volunteers and recruit new people to work with you. And it can also be a very early working document that helps you, you know, in your fundraising. It can also serve as your boilerplate, if you would, to inform other documents? Because, you know, we have a tendency to just respond to one proposal to the next. And, you know, we do those efforts usually in a vacuum. And it would be much more efficient and all refer to a common set of documents to make sure that we're all speaking the same language regardless of what other audience that we're using. So it helps to maintain consistency across audiences. And it's really good to help you write articles, write other publications, help you with your website, foundation proposals, videotape presentations, and just give speeches just to make sure that whatever you say is consistent, as I said, you know, across different audiences. So when we look at our case statement, we want to look at who benefits. We want to share what your philosophy of operation is, as well as your mission. We want to talk about the opportunities you seek for service. And then you want to talk about the nature and extent of your financial needs. And then you want to talk about how the funding is actually going to make you a stronger and more effective organization. But then most importantly, how are you going to fulfill your mission? How are you going to impact your clients? And what's going to move your organization forward? Again, why are you worthy? So you got to think of your value as an organization. And it all starts with your mission, vision, and core values. Your mission statement tells why the organization exists, what it does, and how it does it, whereas your vision is a long-term aspiration for how the organization sees itself, its role in the community, how it's going to impact its clients, as well as the community. And then our core values are those core beliefs, goals, and worldview that the organization holds, and ideally they're going to define the culture, and they should guide all of your decision making. So it should guide things like, you know, who you hire. It should guide things like who you contract with. It should even guide the types of funding that you want to go after. You know, there may be some funding sources that you might avoid given who you serve. So, for example, if you're working with an organization that helps people detox from substance abuse, you clearly would not want R.J. Reynolds as your, you know, as one of your funders. That is, if one of your basic core is to make sure that you're looking out for the best interests of your clients and helping them recover from addiction, smoking being one of them. When we look, when we look at the basic parts of your case statement should have 9 basic parts. And the first one is the history of your organization. This is basically where you tell the who, the what, the why of your organization. You know, who you are. Why did you come into existence? What issues caused you to come in existence? So those would be some of the problems. And then you want to describe the social and demographic setting in which you work. And then you want to describe, you know, what it is in your mission, how you're addressing those issues as an organization. And then you want to talk in more detail about the problem, but not only focus on the problem, but what's the opportunity here. So you're going to look at the social problem, and you're going to create the need for the particular project. Or rather, you're not going to really create the need. You're actually going to demonstrate that there is a need. And then you're going to describe the fact that, yes, there is a need, but there's an opportunity, and your organization is, in fact, up to, you know, up to the challenge. And then you want to write about this in terms of urgency. You want to give a sense of urgency. What is going to happen if this problem is left unresolved? Why do you need the money now? And you want to keep in mind that people are most persuasively motivated by what saves lives or what changes lives. But you want to also keep an even keel. You don't want to stretch into the realms of being unrealistic. And you don't want to describe how the program is going to help the institution. That is, unless your proposal is about strengthening your organizational systems. But for the most part, you want to focus on how it's going to help people, how it's going to help the community. And it's important that the case is larger than the institution itself. You know, remember, this is always bigger than, you know, one individual, one organization. It's about the problem. It's about the system. It's about the community. It's about the client. And when you talk about the solution, you need to be very clear on what your plan is for solving the problem and why it's seeking this particular opportunity. Why is it seeking this particular, what we would call, method, which is a way of solving a problem? And then you want to talk about the institution's unique role. Why is your particular institution best qualified to respond to the problem? You know, so at that point, you begin to think about your strengths and how you can use your strengths to address the problem. If you can't address the problem yourself, that might be a good point to begin to talk about how you will work in partnership with other organizations. And then, you know, when you talk about the partnership, don't just list the organizations. It's really important to list who the organizations are, what they bring to the table, you know, what they'll do to work together, to come together to solve that problem. After that, you want to talk about your goals. And basically, your goals are very general, a general description of what it is you want to achieve. And then your objectives basically tell you how you're going to achieve those goals. And then sometimes people might, instead of looking at specific objectives, they might even talk about the programs that they're going to use to actually achieve those goals. And then when we look at fundraising, we look at fundraising in two parts. The first is the fundraising equation, and then the second is the fundraising plan. The fundraising equation is basically the financing of the proposed plan, and it tells you who's going to be responsible. It's going to tell you what are the resources available. And then it's going to talk about the role that private philanthropy may play in the equation. If you have public funders, then you'll talk about the role that the public sector might play. If there are corporations, you might want to talk about their role. So when you look at your funding equation or your funding mix, it's important not only to describe the different funding sources, but talk about the different roles. And then when we look at the fundraising plan, that's when we talk about the nuts and bolts of how you propose to raise the funds. And then on top of that, not only do you talk about how you're going to raise the funds, but you need to be able to give some evidence that your fundraising plan is going to be successful. And then it's also important, too, to make sure that your fundraising plan is tied into the organization's budget. So it makes no sense to develop a fundraising plan that's not based in the organization's reality. And the organization's reality is usually based in its financial. So there needs to be a direct relationship between the activities that you propose to do and the funding that you are asking for, and the funding that's required. And anytime there's a discrepancy between the two, that raises questions. And the more questions there are, sometimes the more difficult it is to get funding. And talks about how to get. So it gives the funder an indication of how to give. So in this segment, you want to talk about the kinds of gifts you want to receive. So if they're cash gifts, then you might talk about how you might give a donation. You know, it could be a cash gift, say, through a GoFundMe account. It could be directly to the organization. It could be an in-kind gift. For example, if you are looking for furniture for your office or equipment like technology, so you want to let people know how exactly they can give to you. You give an address, give a contact, give a phone number also in that section. And then here's the most important section that we overlook. It's the leadership. So not only do you want to give the names and qualifications of those who lead the fundraising program, but you want to demonstrate what their past record is. And then you also want to let folks know who's going to ultimately be responsible for the program and the policies for spending the money. So that's a threefold description. So we're looking at probably the description of your board of directors, your executive management team, your program leaders, you know, because those are the people who are actually going to follow through. But when we talk about the people responsible for the policies, those are your board people. And then you clearly want to know, you know, want to let people know who the treasurer is and his or her qualifications. And it's important not that they just have a glowing resume, but again, you want to have evidence that they've done the type of work that's involved in doing the things that you describe that you need funding for, so that the case becomes, you know, a more realistic ask. And it's important, too, that no one person does this work, him or herself. You know, one of the mistakes that we make is we leave all of this work to a grant writer, or we leave it all to the executive director or a single person in the organization, when it really should be a team approach. And the team should consist of people who are best informed about the organization programs. So the CEO would probably be one who can share the vision, the big picture. The program heads would be people who can give you a better view of what the programs are, you know, because they work with those programs on a day-to-day basis. Your CFO or your chief financial officer will be best equipped, or your treasurer will be best equipped to talk about the financials. And then your fundraising department would be best equipped to describe what that fundraising plan looks like. But it's important that you have group edits and then one person who is charged with making sure all of that stuff makes sense, is all consistent, and no two people contradict one another. And if your budget allows, it would be helpful if you got a skilled professional, someone who understands fundraising, proposal writing, and how to prepare a case statement to take that information and polish it up for you and put it in language that a funder could best understand. And then you want to make sure that everyone is working together to make sure the final document sounds like it was written by the organization, but it has all the polish and has all the touches that point to what a funder would be geared to see. And now we want to talk about what not to do. You want to make sure that, first of all, your purpose is not either left out of the case statement. You want to make sure that it's not vague. So you want to talk about the reasons your organization exists, and it should be described in compelling terms. You want a clear statement of your mission and your vision, and it should be central to the case. So everything will revolve around your mission and your vision. And then you don't want to be too emotional. Sometimes we get so focused on jerking on the heartstrings that we don't really make our case. You know, we talk about the starving children over in North Lawndale. We talk about the homeless man over in Inglewood. But if we don't give some good, solid data, that will support the need. You know, it's really all for naught. It'll all just be fluff. So not only do you, you know, share what we call anecdotes and stories, but you also need to back it up with data, share what other people are doing, what has worked, what hasn't worked, why what you're doing will work, and why you chose the way of addressing the issues that you have chosen. And then the fact that you're in a position where you're asking does not mean that you need to beg. One of the big mistakes we make is that we're not confident in the value that we as nonprofits bring to the problem. So every institution has needs, but you have to focus not only on addressing the needs, yet the focus, yes, you need money, but you're not begging for money. And you have to show that you have value, you have the answers to the solution. So you're positioning yourself more or less as a partner, not necessarily an equal partner, but a partner, one who is stepping into this gap and one who can solve a problem that we make is misunderstanding what motivates a prospect. So volunteer leaders and prospective donors are most interested in the financial stability of an institution, the cost of the proposed project, and how the completed program will be funded in future years. So, yes, you have to make a business case. They're interested in the intersections of the cause and the project, but they also want to see the bottom line. They want to know what your past is in relationship to your future. And they want to know how you can make the community a better place within the means of your organization. So if you talk about the statement and make it too long, you know, in an effort to impress people, that could turn people off. If you talk about it in too flowery a language but not giving any facts, not giving the business case, then you lose people. So I always like to say, in terms of length, the statement should be like a woman's skirt. It should be long enough to cover the subject and short enough to be interesting. And then you don't want to be vague in terms of your planning. You know, when they ask you about implementation, you want to be able to give, you know, a clear time frame of what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and who is going to do it. And you don't want to have claims that are unsubstantiated. So you don't want to make this problem, or you don't want to overstate your ability to solve the problem. People are smart enough to know, you know, what's real and what's not real. So that's basically a summary of what should go in your case statement, what are some of the things you should not do. And at this point, I'm going to open it up for questions. I see that we have a caller at 312-296-4779. I'm going to open it up and ask this caller. Caller, can you state your name? And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer your question. Hello? Okay, it looks like we may have lost the caller. Just want to make sure. Okay, caller at 312-296-4779, did you have a question? If not, that's okay too.
No. I'm sorry. No, I didn't have a question. I'll just listen.
Okay. Okay. All righty. This is Valerie Leonard. I am the host of Nonprofit View. I am asking if there are any questions from our audience. If you have any questions, the number is 347-884-8121. And if you're listening and you're in the chat room, you can feel free to ask any questions from the chat room. We have about 6 minutes left. Okay, so while we're waiting to see if there are people with any questions, I just want to share with you, some things that you can look for, for your own reality check. One of the first things you want to do is talk about, how is the institution positioned in the community and what is your heritage? And when I talk about being positioned in the community, how is it that people in the community see the organization? What geographical areas does it serve? When were you founded? What's been your track record? What's been your strength? What are you known for? What do people see you as? Do they see you as someone with the ability to solve this problem? And if this is something new, what is it in your past that can help them gain confidence that you can do this work in the future? And how does the institution benefit the community? How and who does it serve? So not only are we looking at the services, but what has been the outcome of those services? How have people's lives changed as a result of the service that you provide? How has the community changed as a result of the services that you provide? Then you want to look at why a fundraising program is necessary. Do you have a steady stream of income? Is there a need for you to now diversify your funding source? Have you gotten too accustomed to public funds and it's now time for you to diversify and get more private funds? Are you at a point where it seems like you're relying too heavily on foundations for support and you want to create a new income stream that will sustain the organization? And that could be through starting, a business for the organization, but you may still need to rely on some seed funding from foundations to get you started. This is an important one. Is the institution fiscally sound? So it's a very fine line that you have to walk. You want to be able to demonstrate that you need funds, but you also have to demonstrate that you were an excellent steward of the funds that you had in the past so that people can trust you with even more. Does the institution have strong leadership? Everything rises and falls with leadership. If people are not comfortable with the current leadership, there's no reason for them to expect that you're going to be able to go to the next level. So when I talk about comfort with the leadership, does the leadership have the ability to do what it says it was going to do? Does the leadership have the connections? Do they have a financial wherewithal? If they don't, do they know how to go about it? So I want to thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Brenda Palms Barber from NLEN, and I'm looking forward to a very lively discussion next week. So thank you again. Take care. Bye-bye.